following is a presentation of Crane's Chicago Business, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Radio.
I'm Amy Guth, and this is Crane's Daily Gist. Yesterday, both Chicago mayoral candidates met with Crane's Chicago Business editorial board to make their respective cases for winning next week's election. Crane's political writer Greg Hines writes that Lightfoot mixed a come-together message with sharp jabs at her opponent. Preckwinkle held herself out as a proven government leader, even as she defended some troublesome associations. Later on in this episode, we'll talk with Greg Hines about his analysis of the two candidates. You can also visit Chicago Business. Business.com for more detail and commentary about yesterday's editorial board visits. More business headlines and updates after a word from our sponsor. A Chicago-based institution, Wintrust Commercial Banking provides area businesses with local decision-making and a personalized focus. With specialty services for specific industries and tools like treasury management, commercial lending, and wealth services, the dedicated team will support you and your business through every need. Wintrust Commercial Banking was built here in Chicago to serve Chicago businesses. Learn more about how they can help you achieve your business goals at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. In its largest acquisition in 20 years, McDonald's is buying a decision logic tech company to better personalize menus in its digital push. As reported by Bloomberg, the world's biggest restaurant chain is spending more than $300 million on Dynamic Yield, which is based in New York and Tel Aviv. With the new tech, McDonald's restaurants can vary their electronic menu's display of items depending on factors such as weather, say more coffee on cold days and McFlurries on hot days, and time of day or regional preferences. McDonald's tested Dynamic Yield's technology in the U.S. last year and will more widely introduce it this year for drive-through menus once the deal closes. The company also plans to expand the capability to markets abroad. With the agricultural sector already facing its worst downturn since the 1980s, spring floods this month have inundated a swath of the U.S. grain belt from Nebraska to Iowa, causing an estimated $3 billion of damage. The rising waters have wrecked grain elevators and the makeshift storage bins that farmers have been using to accommodate last year's record crop. As of December, about 60% of stored corn could be found in Iowa, Nebraska, Illinois, and Minnesota alone, according to the USDA. The first two have been worst hit by the recent weather, and just under half of the country's stored soybeans are in the same four states. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration expects to see major flooding through May as spring rain and melting snow exceeds rivers' capacities. And another story related to recent flooding in parts of the Midwest, Deerfield-based Walgreens is contributing to relief efforts in flood-ravaged Iowa and Nebraska communities with a $25,000 donation to the American Red Cross and donations of over-the-counter medications and medical supplies from stores in those states. Walgreens has 71 stores in Iowa and 57 of them in Nebraska. The Trump administration told a federal court yesterday that would ask judges to toss out the entire Affordable Care Act. Justice Department attorneys said in a letter filed with the U.S. Court of Appeals that a lower court's ruling on the health care law as unconstitutional, quote, should be affirmed. The position is a change for the DOJ after it argued last year that large parts of the 2010 law, but not all of it, should be struck in the case of Texas v. U.S., which is pending before the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Justice Department now says that the entire law enacted under Obama should be thrown out. The Supreme Court rejected an appeal from a photographer who said Nike stole key aspects of his iconic photo of Michael Jordan to sell billions in shoes and other merchandise. The justices said they won't hear arguments from photographer Jacob Rentmeester, whose photo of Jordan leaping to dunk a basketball first appeared in Life magazine in 1984. Nike started using a similar photo of Jordan the following year, which was later converted into a logo for the company's Air Jordan sneakers. In 1985, Nike paid the photographer $15,000 for the right to use his image on billboards and posters for 2 years, but not for rights to the logo. A federal appeals court threw out the suit, saying that the two photos weren't substantially similar and that any similarities only related to unprotectable ideas, but not their expression. Airbus has secured a $35 billion jet deal from China, dealing a fresh blow to Boeing as it continues to grapple with the grounding of its best-selling jet following two fatal crashes in 5 months. After the transaction was announced in Paris on Monday, Airbus said the order is for nearly 300 A320 series narrow-body planes and 10 A350 wide-body. Boeing's grounded 737 MAX aircraft is the chief rival to the Airbus A320. Coming up, we'll check in with Crane's Chicago Business political reporter Greg Hines about the upcoming mayoral race. That's right after this word from our sponsor. Wintrust Commercial Banking offers a full suite of financial resources designed to meet the needs of middle market businesses and larger companies. With comprehensive and personalized financial solutions, coupled with bankers who get to know your industry's demands, Wintrust Commercial Banking is committed to providing the tools to help your business reach its strategic growth initiatives. You've got a vision for your business, and Wintrust Commercial Banking is here to help you see it through. Find out more at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We're joined now by Crane's Chicago Business political writer Greg Hines to take a look at what else, something a lot of people have been talking about lately, and that is the mayoral race here in Chicago. Greg, welcome back to the program.
Always good to be here.
So from your perspective, I know you have been thinking about this topic a lot and writing about this topic and doing all kind of work in this area. Where are you looking most when from that business lens when we look to the mayoral runoff election?
Well, you know, this is an absolutely extraordinary race. I've been doing this for 30 years, and I've never seen anything quite like this in Chicago, and neither have a lot of people. You probably have to go back to the days when Jane Byrne ran against Harold Washington and Rich Daley and that whole era to find something like this. We've gone from a situation just before the runoff where you had 5 zillion people running and nobody had more than 10 or 11 or 12%. To a pseudo coronation now, where by all indications, Lori Lightfoot is just going to walk right into the fifth floor.
Right, and you know, earlier when we first realized we were going to have this runoff, I think in the day that followed, there was an editorial from Cranes. There were a lot of people thinking and talking about kind of comparing the two, certainly for the business community and their fiscal backgrounds, what they each brought to the table. There were some people saying Lightfoot had not talked enough about her financial plans for the city, whereas I think people felt like Preckwinkle maybe too entrenched in the Chicago machine to have the fresh start I think a lot of people wanted. Where has that conversation gone since that time, since that initial moment that we got into runoff territory?
Well, the big business groups, to my knowledge, have not yet formally endorsed, but certainly some big players have started to write nice checks to Lightfoot. I think there's a little bit of a bandwagon phenomenon going on. You know, in politics, if people want to be with winners. Somebody's perceived it as ahead in the polls. There's this back and forth this week about why Preckwinkle all of a sudden has gone off TV, which is a bit of an unusual move. So looking at that, business is gravitating to Lightfoot, even though I still think there's some pretty good questions about what her financial plan is, how she's going to balance the budget and stuff like that.
Indeed. And so from your perspective, because you cover this topic so closely, what is missing from the narrative? Perhaps like a detail that you've been watching that you don't see in the, you know, the big conversation around these two candidates or the race itself?
Well, I mean, the most clear thing is a detailed plan to get the city out of the financial hole that it's in. According to the Civic Federation, the city has a hole of $600 million in the new budget that the new mayor will have to roll out just a few months after they take office. I hear the figure actually is higher than that, maybe $800 to $900 million, largely old pension debt that we're now required to come due with. How are we going to do that? You know, people are sick and death of taxes here, but they don't have a printing press at City Hall. At least I don't think they do. So that's probably the biggest single one. But that issue and, frankly, all other issues have been overwhelmed by kind of the grand dynamics of this race. And the grand dynamic is people want to change. And after all the Ed Burke stuff where he was charged by the feds and the Danny Solis wearing the wire and whatever, after all that hit, it kind of cut the legs right from under Preckwinkle. She's no longer an agent of change, and it threw a lot of people over to Lightfoot, even if she hasn't really defined where she's coming from. But that's the dynamic that's running the race now. Preckwinkle has kind of been defined as this old-fashioned kind of pal who's not gonna change things much. So everybody's flotting over to Lightfoot, and in the process, there hasn't been as much detailed discussion on some of the issues as I would like to see.
Once the election happens and the new mayor is decided, what will the winner need to do first to get the business community behind her and build trust with them, in your opinion?
The budget stuff, which we talked about, is certainly a big part of it. There's a contract with the police union that is going to affect a lot of things. Are we going to be able to enact the full consent decree? Are cops going to be held accountable, but yet also show up and do the job fully and feel that the public has their support? That's a key issue. A third thing I think watching is just how far to the left does the new city council go? It's definitely going to be more progressive. There's lots of talk of things like tripping the real estate transfer tax, imposing a city income tax, bringing rent control. Each one of those raises hackles in certain parts of the business community. You know, the ultimate question is, can we pay our bills without hobbling our economy with too many controls and taxes?
Indeed, those are questions on a lot of people's minds, I'm sure. So we will keep looking to you, Greg Hines, for more analysis on both candidates here with just about a week to go before Chicago picks its new mayor. Until tomorrow, that's all for today's Crane's Daily Gist. Thank you to producer Haima Black. Find these stories, breaking news, data, and more at chicagobusiness.com. And find me on Twitter as @AmyGuth. Let's continue the conversation there.